reactor. Made an interesting change to the design, making it function a little better. But, I was going to ask you something. I'm actually going into my repeater. That's why it sounds pretty good. But, I didn't really get a chance to listen. Anybody mention about the fact that it's the 12th now?
Did anybody mention the fact that it's the 12th? I thought it's the 17th of February that we're supposed to switch over. Black Tuesday.
Yeah, no, now it's June the 12th.
Reflector 9126, link clear.
I think Dick needs to spend more time in either 880 kilohertz or 54 to 60 megahertz. I think you surprised him with that, Eric.
Auto connecting.
Node number 9126.
Welcome to the New England Reflector 912.
Channel 6.
They definitely pushed it in. He had turned on the de-icers shortly after takeoff, so the de-icers have been on the entire time, but ice on other parts tear up the airfoil they have on that ATR. And what was the other? They were at 1,800 feet. Over.
Okay. I think you're telling me that a pilot who uses autopilot in an icing condition when he's 5 miles from touchdown is really not using the equipment correctly. And I think you're saying that under icing conditions, no autopilot is supposed to be used at all because of that nasty failure mode. So therefore, there is some evidence that this accident might be chalked up to partial pilot error. What do you think, Ken? K2LIW.
Hey, Dick.
Yeah, go ahead.
Just on a quickie yet. Has anybody from Nevada checked in? I see there's a station in Anderson, Nevada that's linked up to it.
Yeah, a guy from Nevada did check into the node a couple of days ago and talked to me about the TechNet and told me he had built a strip line parallel kilowatt amplifier and paid me some compliments. So he did say he was going to come back. Go ahead.
Yeah, because I see he's hooked up. I don't know if he's listening or not, but... I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. Hello, Kent, how are you? I haven't heard you in a while.
Yeah, the last question was, do you think it's possible that this is going to be chalked up to partial pilot error?
I have a copy of the preliminary report in your in-basket. The argument would be how icing was the icing at the time it was icing, and can you confirm that there was icing when it happened? That's going to be the primary argument on that. It's not company policy to have the autopilot on in ISA. That ATR has a very super high efficiency here. It doesn't take very much change in its curvature for it to stop working.
So I think you're saying that right now your speculation is that the ice on the wing made it suddenly lose lift. And the fact that the conditions seem to go haywire right at the instant they deployed the flaps. Do you think there's a connection there, Kent? Go ahead.
As I said, you have a copy of the preliminary report in your in-basket. It talks about all the attitudes it was at. It was in a... they went high nose up, high nose down, high nose up, and were rotating, and they hit flat.
Yeah, earlier today you told me you were speculating that this was a flat spin. Are you still of that opinion, Ken?
Have a list of the angles.
Okay, I think you're saying that that is a possible yes.
Oh. Yeah, I would call it a fairly flat spin. They did rotate as they were coming out.
Now that I've got internet connection, I'm looking at my inbox at this time.
Yet there's a high probability that is the truth. W2RIW,
WB2HW, WTIC,
can you hear me?
Yes, I can, Howie. Go ahead.
Yeah, when you were talking about the highest frequency before, you should have talked about H constant, you know, 1 minus 27 to the Earth, H plankton, that'll give you the energy in a photon.
Yeah, E equals H nu, Planck's constant. So there is no upper limit. You can always go to a higher frequency. As you get real high, though, you might not have enough local energy to generate that first photon.
Roger. I'll say another comment about math. A lot of people just all have the practicality. You know, I hardly ever use all that math out of school, but it's good to understand it. You need to understand the math. You need to have a feeling for it. You just can't use a calculator. You really got to go through the problem. I mean, Professor Allen was right. He said, you got to have a love for the math.
In order to be a computer scientist or a computer engineer, do I absolutely have to understand the physics of the manufacturing process of the raw materials that go into each of those 20 million junctions that are inside of a microprocessor?
No. You may not use... This is what Laplace transform.
Howie, you didn't make it that time, K2YL.
You guys went to sleep. This is K2KY.
That's what I've got to do also. I've got to leave you guys. Bye-bye, Mel, and have a nice week.
Hey, that's what this meter was off, because I was going to give you an argument about the spectrum, where we go from using an antenna to we use lenses that, you know, we're still in the radio world. But you were talking about studies, looking at some engineering studies for a master's degree, and... you know, there's a crossover point, I was going to say, a crossover point like where, you know, with the math especially, like where we use polar, you know, we're going to use polar equations. But when you look at polar equations as it combines with analytic geometry, Dick, you say, gee, which way are we going? You know, we're going sort of out of the way of electrical engineering, but it is part of the curriculum, over.
Yeah, there are certain problems that are easier to solve with one kind of coordinates or another, one kind of mathematics or another. And nowadays you have to ask yourself, what's the most efficient way to get the answer? Do you really have to use this particular modeling program, that particular empirical procedure? You got to worry about the cost of the procedure, and the cost is not only dollars, it's man hours. And as an engineer, you've got to minimize those man hours, or whoever is your chain of command in your company is going to get angry at you. I got to leave you guys. Bye-bye for now. K2LAW.
Hey, catch up with you next week. Now, I was going to get into your side talking that with analytic geometry, you know, parametric equations and all, the crossover point. But all right, we'll catch up with that another day. It's a whole nother ball game. Take care, Dick. Have a great week. 73. This is K2KEY.
Good night, Dick.
Good night, Dick.
K2J.
The R question, can you repeat the answer one more time?
Okay, repeat the question. You got covered. Bye-bye for now, Eric.
I just wanted a repeat of the answer on the antenna SWR question. You got just a little static when you said the answer.
Give it to you mathematically.
Yeah, I should find out. Are you on the Western machine or the Eastern machine?
I really couldn't tell you. I'm on the internet, so W7HTL, Las Vegas.
Yeah, I talked to you earlier this week, and I've forgotten your name. Tell me your name again.
Oh, I can Philadelphia.
going to assume that I'm coming through, and I'll just give you the whole story. Talk to your favorite antenna engineer that's got 20 years experience. Describe the problem as a 72-ohm transmitter, thoroughly balanced output, 72-ohm twin lead transmission line. The Z impedance is 72 ohms. So, transmitter is perfectly matched to the feed line is perfectly matched to the antenna. There is no standing wave ratio on the feed line. So, on the all flows forward, none of it comes back. And you go in 1 inch down the wire of the dipole, and you ask yourself the question, hey, back on the transmission line, an inch away, there was no standing wave ratio. What is the standing wave ratio on the dipole? And the answer is approximately 20 to 1. The antenna is a standing wave structure. The energy bounces back and forth 20 times before the majority of it is radiated. Radiation is hard. It doesn't happen on the first pass. It's an exponential decaying function, even when being fed steady state. Wonder if that made some sense, Phil. You ask that question to your average antenna engineer, you usually will get a response that is what I call deer in the headlights. W7HTL, K2RIW.
Okay, I've got it. I'm going to do some studying now, but very interesting. Thank you very much for repeating that. Good evening, W7HTL, Clint.
Yeah, what's amazing about that, Phil, is the fact that the dipole antenna invented by Heinrich Hertz way back in something like 1870 is the most basic foundation bedrock antenna. Almost everything is based on it. And here we are, 160 years later, only have partial understanding of what it does. There are 5,000 kinds of antennas. Many of them start off as a dipole. The average antenna engineer doesn't thoroughly understand a dipole. Maybe I'm one of them. And no book you can read will say the words I just gave you. Bye-bye for now, Phil.
Got one book that really touches on this, Dick.
7HTL, clear.
Hey, Dick, I was just going to say, I got one book that touches on it in the polar coordinate system. Very interesting, polar coordinate system and calculus, and I got a little bit of a reference to this. Okay, talk about this some other time. Good night, Dick. I know you ain't got to get to bed.
The top? The time is 12:24.
KE2EJ, WH4YY.
Somebody call.
Hey, who's that? W2YY. Would you happen to know where a Channel 8 is in New Jersey with the callers of WFMA?
I'm sorry, I didn't catch that.
I was curious if you happen to know the location of a station in New Jersey. I believe it's definitely on Channel 8. It's running digital, and the callers are WFME. I can't seem to find it in the FCC database.
Yeah, FME's in there. I don't remember exactly where in New Jersey they are. They're somewhere Fort Lee. It's not Fort Lee. I just don't remember exactly where it is. But yeah, they've been around for a long time.
Isn't that kind of close because there's a Channel 8 in New Haven?
Just wait a second. I'll tell you exactly where. No, I know I'm making myself crazy. Got too much audio going on here. I'll tell you exactly where they are.
Okay. Last Sunday, with the temperature being very warm in the daytime and it cooled off quickly at night, there was this sort of temperature inversion going on. I was able to pick them up on channel 29. They say they're channel 29. They're actually broadcasting on channel 8, the frequency range of channel 8. And I also got your channel 61 out here for quite a few hours that day and the next day, so I am able to see channel 61. It was up for quite a while. Quite a viewable picture out here. That's 46.2 miles away from the Empire State Building.
Yeah, FME is in West Milford. That's where they are.
Okay, thanks for the info.
Yeah, you may find, I think, you'll see it and show up on Channel 8 off of, well, feel off of Empire. I'm not sure. Yeah, as far as I know, they're not there yet, but they have, I think they're on Channel 8. I can double check that, too.
I just thought a little strange because Channel 8 New Haven has been on the air at analog, and it's the running analog at the same time. And I was able to actually take a TV set connected on the, look at the analog picture, weak, noisy with this background interference at the same time. I could see Channel 8 Digital. I was actually seeing two at the same time because the signal level was very similar. The digital carrier was coming in only about 3, 4 dB stronger than the analog carrier from Channel 8 New Haven because my antenna is aimed west.
Yeah, all right, now everything's going to turn into a big mess because some places will actually make the change and some other places won't. There are a number of spots where there's an analog and a digital separated by, I think, 60 miles or 80 miles. So you look into that.
Since the big change is happening on June 12, 2009, WNET going to do? Are they going to stick to that date? Are they going to change over sooner?
No, all the New York broadcasters have pretty much agreed to make a change on the 12th of June.
I see. Okay, very good.
So if you don't delay it again, June 12th, they're going to do it again.
Good morning. The time is 12:29 a.m.
Does that have the station that made the comment have call letters?
Yeah, WB2HWW. I got 10 minutes ID.
The 12:30 a.m. 73 and good night from the W2VL repeater. The time is 1:23 a.m. 73 and good night from the W2VL repeater. Time is 5 a.m. The time is 5:39 a.m. Good morning. Welcome to the W2VL repeater. This is the W2VL repeater. Good morning. The time is 5:54 a.m.
KB9CDJ, KB9CDJ, Charlie Delta Juliet, leaving City Island, heading downtown, Monday morning. Listening. Club, man. P9 CDJ portable listening.
The time is 6:09 a.m. Good morning, W2VL repeater system.
KV9 CDJ listening.
Man, there's no traffic out today, man. Is this Monday or Sunday?
This is KVKNV. It's the holiday and got a lot of people sleeping, I guess. Name here's Richie.
Hey, Richie, name here is Ernest. Coming in kind of soft. I'm driving down the FDR coming up to 71st Street going downtown. And, underneath at this hour, that there's hardly any traffic. I'm, like, perplexed. I'm wondering whether or not I missed the day or something. KB9 CDJ.
KB9 CDJ, KGK. There's an audio problem on the repeater this morning. They'll try to fix a little later in the day. So I think it's Dennis. I think we spoke before. I think you're headed out west at some point to start a new job in the not too distant future. Anyway, it's a holiday, so you have the banks are closed, staff office is closed, school closed, post offices are closed. So you just have, and I guess most people that would be working for unions or other would be off on a day like today. So therefore, at least for right now, this is you and I. Back to you.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Right. That's right. It's President's Day. See? I work for the city, and I am going out west. This is my last week for the city, anyway. I'll be here about a month more. They call it a floating holiday. It's either Lincoln or Washington, and you could take it off last Thursday or take it off this Monday. I took off last Thursday, and naturally, assumed everybody else was coming to work with me today. All right, okay. Yeah, thanks for the heads up there, you know. Now I don't feel so lucky. Well, maybe I am, you know. Well, obviously you don't work in the stock market or the banks. Or the post office anymore.
None of the above. Basically, I never know how to describe it, but it's semi-retired. So most of my work is done out of home office. Fortunately, haven't had to spend a lot of time on the roads in a long time. But that's usually what happens. You get this holiday. You said it's a floating holiday for you, I guess. What they have always tried to do is to combine day of President's holiday with a school vacation, so therefore it worked out this year that everything came out about the same. And for example, in my community, sanitation is collected today because they must have a floating holiday at U Evel, but the next town over, it's not collected. So you always have to look at the calendars to know whether to put your garbage out or not. And again, the audio is a little fuzzy, but is it correct? Your name is Dennis, and my name is Richie. Back to you.
Okay, well, that makes sense. The name here is Ernest. Ernest, as in the importance of being earnest. I hope UPS is working anyway. I'm expecting a delivery today. And, it is confusing. Well, I rent, so I just sit out one way or the other. But, it's getting pretty hairy, though, on the FDR still. Now, you got the Grand Prix drivers out here looking to make some moves on the open road. But it's good, semi-retired. Well, that's, that's a lot like working part-time, I guess. Maybe I'll get there in another 10 years, should I live that long. I used to be a literary agent in Chicago, and, I'll start picking that up out west, in my golden years, which
may not be so golden if this economy doesn't turn around and beef up my K back to you.
Hi, Ernest. Scott State Batchon. This is KTKND. Well, interesting. Very agent in Chicago. The my cousin is a publisher, and I guess he's represented some writers. He's out in the Oakland, California area, and it's tough. You know, as you get a little bit older, he's been a publisher of various magazines and book companies, tabletop books, things like that. But as you get older, it's a young man's world, and not the easiest thing sometimes finding a job out there. Anyway, I remember you have a variety of things that you've done in your background, really nice. And as far as retirement, semi-retirement, the one thing I learned a long time ago is that no matter what age you retire, you just can't stop having some pace to your life, which a lot of people do, and unfortunately, it has negative effects on them. Or someone who's been getting up at 5 o'clock every day of your life, and you retire and you decide to stay in bed for another 4 hours, I don't think you're going to last that long. Body just can't make kind of adjustment, whether it's the gravitational pull of the earth on your body when you're standing up, or excuse me, a whole bunch of other things. So no matter what you do when you retire, you've always got to stay active. Back to you, Ernest.
Okay,
Rich.
Well, fine business on all points. Absolutely. Yeah, and like, you know, just keeping active, and I don't, you know, I may sleep late, but I'll, you know, probably stay up later. I mean, my waking hours won't change. There'll probably be a phase shift into what floats naturally. Yeah, you know, I'll probably have more, you know, strategic things to do, whereas, you know, you got to get the ball rolling on a longer term basis, even though I think everything would be, you know, short term. But, you know, when you're pushing it yourself, you got to plant the seed, watch it grow. And, you're right. I know, there's a ham operator, a retired Air Force up in Ulster County, who's a teacher right now. Had a second career as a high school teacher, and now is got his master's. Is going to be working, going to do internet distant learning on a computer when he retires from teaching. So that'll keep him busy. But he's also going to get a motorhome, one of these Airstream jobs, and map out routes across the country, and spend a lot of time doing what he does. From a $100,000
job. KB9 CDJ, back to you. KB9 CDJ, KTKND. Yeah, well, you know what, Ernest? I was a teacher, and that was a good example of, when I first started, it was a good example of what not to do when you retired. It was a time when they didn't really have early retirement. People were building up these huge pensions because it was a totally system, which today it's a basically non-contributory, but they had these pensions built up, and they'd stay around, well, you know, certainly from 62, 65, sometimes even a little later, and you know, these are people who very often were very, very healthy people, very fit people, you know, amongst them even some of the gym teachers, who did maintain themselves physically, and some of them, when they retired at 65, would pass away within a very short period of time, you know, relatively short, a year or two. And it's not just because they were in their 60s, but they had so dramatically changed their lifestyle. At least that's my belief, that now instead of getting up at 6 o'clock every morning and being at work at 8:30 and, you know, X number of pumps of your heart and movement of your muscles, now they start sleeping late, like you say. They go to bed early. It's funny how there's this documentation that too much sleep is not good for you. And, you know, again, it could be gravitational stress on the organs, whatever the case is. So it's just interesting. That was my early experience, and that was what you do. You got to stay active. Anyway, back over to yours. This is...
Oh, yeah. Oh, for sure. Well, you know, I know if I...
ever have that amount of time. I'd definitely like to get back into my exercise routine and my Tai Chi, you know, which I never seem to have enough time. As a matter of fact, I'm looking at a condo out there in New Mexico that has two swimming pools, a steam room, and a workout facility. Even for my working life, come home, I like to do a few laps and burn off some tension in the steam. Absolutely on that account. And you're right on the pension. Well, this guy up in Ulster County, he's got his Air Force, 20-year Air Force pension, then he'll have his school pension, and then he'll have his side job plus his wife work. So, you know, yeah, he's going to be set. I'm not in that quite category. I probably will retire when I'm 65, 67, probably be working after that, too. Yeah, you're right. You know, I mean, so I don't necessarily look at it as a curse to have to work till you die, but, you know, it's not necessarily a blessing all the time if you figure you can handle it. Back to you, KB9CDJ.
KB9CDJ. Yep, you gotta handle it right, you know, if you can get away and do some traveling and whatever, but at the very least you always have to stay active. I forgot you said that you were going out to New Mexico, again, because I remember you had a very varied background. I remember it was something with Border Patrol that you were doing out there, is that correct?
Yeah, I'm not going to go out on patrol so much, but I will be working support for those guys who are actually. It's going to be in Deming, New Mexico. I'll probably live in Las Cruces, which is about 60 miles away. It's going to be a drag driving, but I can't live in Deming. It's too much of a dusty cow town. Even though the series is a, you know, it's an investigator series with the feds, basically, the real work is that I'm going to be on the radio. We're going to be calling in from the planes and the ATVs and on foot and in the cars, you know, wanting me to run some name through the computer and I'm not intelligence work in a command and control center. So, that should be kind of fun. Last week, I did a telephone interview with the U.S. Marshal Service in Washington. I don't know if I'll take that job, even though it pays more. It's in Washington. It's like, it's hellish. It's not really action job. I'm going to take the bird in hand this time, you know. Although there may be another opening in El Paso, which is close to the Las Cruces. That'll consider. I'll just talk about my background. What life, what happens to you, you know? Some bad decisions that you recover from and, you know, somehow works out. Back to you, KB9CDJ.
KTKMB. You got real noisy there for a minute, Ernest. I was able to pretty much copy most of it. I think you said that you had perhaps an opportunity for a different location, and I think also you said for a different job, but you weren't sure that you that one. But, I guess with the border situation being what it is, it's something that... And, again, I couldn't tell if you were going out there. I think they said that you're working as a federal officer out there, but then you mentioned the word, I think, temporary, so I wasn't sure if you were also going to be writing something about it, about what goes on there. Of course, you could always get involved in installing lights along the border there, because I think that's what Fox wanted, so that when the mobile defense, it would be lit past for them so that they wouldn't have to be walking through the desert in the dark there. Anyway, another one of those weird proposals. But I think I mentioned to you last time, my brother was in Roswell for a stretching place to watch the dust storm. One day it was Arizona blowing by, the next day it was Texas blowing by. Very, very interesting place. Back to you, Ernest. This is KTK Andy.
Okay. Well, I'm decimated, so this will have to be my last. I was a literate
agent in Chicago, something I might do part-time when I retire, or full-time when I retire, something I could run out of my apartment. So I'll be in a command and control center on a radio most of the time in Deming, at least for now. And and I interviewed for another slot in Washington, but I don't think I'll move to Washington. Roswell, it's where the aliens come down. From the sky, that is, instead of across the border. The border down there pretty much has a fence. I checked out the map recently. They actually have a fence that goes almost all the way across the state now. We'll see what the situation is like that. Shoot me an email, at Yahoo at my call letters, and maybe we'll chat a little bit more about Roswell and the environs. Let me listen for your wrap up, Richie, and then I gotta go, hit the salt mines. KV9 CDJ, that's you.
KV9 CDJ, KVKND. All right, very good. I'll try to get an email out to you, Ernest. And the other thing I tell you, because I know you said you're going to be leaving in a short period of time, it's real interesting talking to you, and with IRLP and Echolink, you certainly have the capability of, no matter where you are, coming back onto this theater to say hi. And, I know it took you a while to get onto the street theater. I think you've been here for a while. But anyway, it's always fun and interesting talking to you. So, certainly take advantage of that. Anyway, maybe we'll catch you later. I'll drop you an email. And have a great day. KB9CDJ, KTKMB will be clear. 7-3, Ernest.
Okay, 7-3. Yeah, I want to learn that after. Catch you later.
AA2GC,
listening.
AA2GC, listening. Connected. Disconnected.
AA2GC, listening.
AA2GC, listening. AA2GC, listening.
N2UZD.
N2UZD, AA2GC. Good morning, Knopf, right?
Yeah, very good. And, I know the voice. I can't place the name or the call sign. Sorry about that.
That's all right, Knopf. You're making me feel good, because usually the other way around. In any case, the name here is Ted, Tango Echo Delta.
Yes, we spoke, okay. Not recently. I spoke to you about a month ago. How you doing this morning?
All right, I'm on my way home. I'm off on Mondays, so sometimes I drive my wife to work. So I just did that, and I'm on my way back home.
Very good. On my way into work, across the poles on the GW Ridge. It'll be clear today, so I should be in my office to see an accurate thing. Back to you.
Well, I can tell you that it was clear sailing from Long Island into Manhattan. Going back the same way, but the important part was going into Manhattan. No slowdown at all, so I assume you're not going to have any trouble at all today, hopefully.
Okay. Good. So how many other people are going to come on this morning? Probably going to be a slow day for the morning commute on the radio. Back to you.
Well, there are not going to be any teachers. I'm sure a lot of people took the day off. A holiday like this is transparent for me, since I'm always off on Mondays And even if it wasn't a Monday, a day like this, I would not be off anyway, so it doesn't matter.
Okay, well, I have my own business, and, it's often enough that I work on Sundays, too. So, Monday is, never a day off. Back to you.
What kind of business do you have now? You may have told me in the past, but I forgot.
I'm in the commercial fire alarm business. Do a little bit of other security work, too, but primarily commercial fire alarm sales, service, installation, authorized factory service, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, you did tell me. I do remember. Just coming up to the Cross Island, heading eastbound. Great. A great trip today. How was your weekend?
My weekend was fine. Went to work yesterday, but late Friday, one of my guys wants to work yesterday, called me, couldn't make it in after all, so I got the day off. So I just, I fixed a few small things around the house. I rehung the chandelier that had shorted out a while back that I had taken down, and fixed the back door that got damaged by the wind a while back and put a new latch on it that's been broken for like a year. A couple small like that. One of the kids out to see a movie last night. Stay up on the late side. That's about it. Took it easy.
Yeah, usually we don't do too much on weekends. Actually, Friday, got tickets to Paul Simon had a concert to open the Beacon Theater on the west side of Manhattan. It was probably one of the best concerts I've ever been to. The theater is beautiful.
Yeah, very good. I have Friday nights and Saturdays. I have enforced relaxation. We're observant Jews. I go to the synagogue and I lay in bed. That's about it, although this Saturday, after services, we went out to lunch at somebody's house. We used to carpool together with the kids a number of years ago, and then they had another family over who I know the wife for like 30 years, back when we were single, went out with a couple of my friends. relaxing. Get to socialize too much, so change.
Yeah, I know that deal. My parents, when my father was alive, they were in the retail business, and I know you're kind of chained business. Nice sunrise coming up here, right? When you realize that your windows are...
Yeah. Interesting. Have not too many vacations, although we're hoping this summer to go to Israel for a few weeks. I have to set everything up to make sure my business can run itself while I'm gone for 2 weeks. I've done it before, though. You know, the guys that work for me, a couple of weeks, I forget, go a little beyond their regular duties. Okay. Well, I'm moving along nicely. I'm down by 116th Street already. Back to you.
Yeah, I would love to go back there. The last time we were in Israel was, I guess, around 13 years ago, 12, 13 years ago. The only time I've been there, I had such a good time. Did a fair amount of stuff. Even went to Britain, saw Petra. What an interesting place to visit.
Yeah, it is. And, well, I was there twice. So it was there in 75. I was there in 83. Had a couple of my brother's kids live in Israel, and they got married there and wanted to go to the wedding. My wife was between. She was afraid to fly because of stuff going on, or else she was didn't think we could spare the money to take family and home by myself. But we have my older kids' bat mitzvah this year coming up in the fall, so we gave her a choice. trip to Israel or a bat mitzvah. I said, oh, let's go to Israel. I think it's going to be this. Not exactly sure yet, but we have to make a decision soon. Back to you.
One of my friends just, his daughter was bat mitzvahed, and they did it in Israel. They combined the two. And they were there for, they must have been there for 2.5, maybe 3 weeks. He invited us to go, actually, but it wasn't in the cards.
Yeah, big argument between my wife and me is where we should stay. I say I've got five nephews and nieces who live in Israel. Not to stay with them, but to have them rent us an apartment a couple of weeks, which would be much cheaper than staying in a hotel. My wife's like, no, I'm on vacation. I wanna be served. we have to see how that settles out. Back to you.
My daughter just got back. She was there for a week about a month ago. One of those group trips.
Yeah, my wife would like to do one of those group things. And me, I'm, you know, when I was in Israel, my Hebrew's not too good, but I can read it and write it, not speak it, but I can understand it somewhat. So I rented a car and off I went. A couple of tour guides booked, and I'm good. The first time we went as a family, and my brother has been studying there, and my sister is there a few years before. He arranged some day trips. Guides, either private or semi-private tours. That was nice. Or maybe like semi-private tours or regular tours, and set it up before we go. I'd like to be more flexible. We'll see what happens. Back to you.
When we were there, we had a biblical archaeologist as a tour guide. Political situation was a little bit different at that point. Not sure what it was like now, but went into the Dome of the Rock. That was it. I don't even know if you can get in.
Yeah, a lot of pleasure to enter now. That's who used their D5D.
AA2GC. I still remember going into it. Touch Dome of the Rock, top of a mountain. Certain visual impressions to stay in your mind, you know?
Yeah, Israel was full of those kinds of things. A lot of stuff that burns into your memory, so to speak. Yeah. No, I haven't been there in so many years. I felt like I was here last week. Yep. Back to you.
Things are the tour guide that took us to Petra in Jordan had that sense of humor. The whole time, all he did was crack Monica Lewinsky jokes because it was during that period of time.
Oh, that must have been quite amusing. We had an interesting tour guide that we did. You know, like we went on a small tour with him in the morning, and then we took him privately after lunch. We took one day, I think we had one day part of a tour, and we took him the second day privately. And he spoke like 10 different languages fluently. It's interesting. It was interesting because trying to find, when we did the tour, he was trying to find a common language. He ended up doing the tour in languages. But he was a little ticked off, and like, pretty much everybody there understood Yiddish, but there were some like very Zionistic, nationalistic couple said they didn't understand Yiddish. And some of these Holocaust survivors or whatever are very, I guess, turned off would be the word by anyone in Europe. And said they didn't understand Yiddish, so he said some insulting things about them in Yiddish, and they started turning colors. Everybody knew that they were lying, but they said they didn't understand Yiddish, so he did the tour in three different languages to keep everybody happy. very amusing because every now and then he would make a comment and he'd say he cracked up. And these people were trying to keep their faces straight when they didn't understand. You could see in their faces that they were full of interesting. I mean, this guy was unbelievable. Like, he not only knew different languages, but he could put on different accents. You know, like, he could speak English with a British accent, a New York accent, and a Western accent. It was really, fascinating.
Now, he goes to show you, and this is what stuck in my mind, really, that most people are friendly. I can remember that the Arabs and the Jews at that point, as far as the tourist industry is, those people that interacted, they were very friendly with each other, almost like the best of friends. That most people, all they care about is they want to raise their family, they want to be left alone. A small proportion of radicals that cause all of the problems that there are. The tour guide from Jordan, cracking the Monica Lewinsky joke, attitude, and I'll always remember this, is, listen, you're a good guy. And I really believe that most people feel that way. Minority that gets everybody.
Well, it's like that with everything.
Yeah.
Like that with all things. Problem is that very often the majority is afraid of the minority and goes along because of fear. Part of the problems really come in. You get intimidated by the minorities, because minorities are usually brutal, and there is plenty to be afraid of from them. And I'm a block away from my office. I'll be finding after the next round.
So your timing is good enough, because I am also, believe it or not, a block away from touchdown. Have a good day at work. Hopefully your trip home will be as easy as your trip to work. And we'll talk soon. This is AA2GPR. We'll listen out for your final.
Okay, very good. 7-3. Have a great day.
N2EHG. Full bubble.
Welcome to the WQVL repeater. The time is 7:26 a.m.
N2EHG Mobile. N2EHG Mobile.
Time is 7:56 a.m. This is the WQVL repeater. WQVL repeater system. The time is 8:07 a.m. Good morning.